I have something to give you today, a truth from God's Word. And by the way, those songs were so fitting for our theme today. Thank you, youth and leaders. But I'm afraid that what I have to give you today, you're going to balk at. Is there any part of God's Word that you balk at? Are there any scriptures that you have a hard time believing? Anything that you're familiar with in Scripture and you've read many times, but you kind of just gloss over it and think, yeah, that's a theological truth, but then you never let it impact your day-to-day life? Are you afraid of being labeled as weird? Let me just put you at ease. You are. You're weird. You are different from secular people in our country. You are different from those who do not have a personal relationship with the Creator. And you are different from those that do not have a born anew spirit inside of you. But if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, then He put His Spirit inside of you, and you are now a triad. You are a body and a soul and a spirit. And as a triad, you should live differently than any biads, if that's the right way to say it. Okay, you're a triad. Can you just accept that? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a spirit that's been made new, that's been born from above, and that something is in that spirit. Do you know what it is? Inside your spirit? Do you know what's inside your spirit? God. God dwells in your spirit. So when you walk around, you're not just flesh, you're not just bone, you're not even just your soul, your emotions, your will, your emotions, will, and mind. Oh, yeah. Forgot the mind. When you walk around as a Christian, you're carrying the Spirit. That makes you weird in the world's eyes. But it makes you an agent of God on this planet, a child of God, a daughter of God, a son of God. And what does God do with His sons and His daughters? Two things, really, they're part of the same thing. First, He loves them. I want you to be able to affirm that before the day is over. If you're a daughter of God, then you are loved by God. Let's stop doubting that. And let's cut off any lies of the devil that are making that hard for you to accept. And the second thing I want you to be really certain of before the morning is over, that if you are a son of God, not only does God live in you and love you, but God speaks to you. If you're a son of God, God wants you to hear His voice, not just every once in a while, not just on the mountaintops, but even in the valleys, on an everyday basis. If you're a son of God, God wants you to hear His voice. Can you just pray a little prayer right now, saying, God, help me to believe these things, that You really do love me, and that You really do want me to hear Your voice? Let's pray. God, help us believe Your word. Help us accept it as true. Help us internalize it into our day-to-day existence. Let us be willing to be strange and peculiar people as we are a kingdom of priests, as we are those filled by Your Spirit, as we are living out the reality of You in us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. One of my friends, a fellow pastor, preaches in Ohio, said this: at times I despise my physical, mental, emotional, spiritual weaknesses. I can relate to that. Maybe you can too. I despise these things that are my weaknesses. However, what I have learned and am still learning is that my weaknesses are God's tools in His hands to draw me closer to Him and to shape me in this in the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. There's spiritual truth there. My weaknesses become the tools God uses to shape me into the image of Jesus Christ. Then the Holy Spirit shapes my weaknesses actually into a strength, which allows me to care for, reach, and tell those around me that they too can have hope in the midst of a broken world. My friend's name is Daniel Messner. I want you to believe today that you are loved by your Heavenly Father and that your Heavenly Father expects you to be hearing His voice. your Heavenly Father loves you and expects you to be hearing His voice. The Father loves you. Lisa and I were talking about a teenage girl that needs some encouragement and some reminders of God's love. And the verse that came into our mind is Zephaniah 3:17. Have you seen Zephaniah 3:17 recently? I wrote it down on one of these pages here, and eventually we'll find it. Zephaniah 3:17 says this amazing truth. The Lord your God is in your midst. He's in the midst of you. As a warrior who gives victory, that's wonderful, but it gets better. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Picture that. God in your midst. You're looking at Him. He's the victorious one. He's bringing you into victory. So your proper response would be worship. You're maybe picturing Him as this great conqueror, this commander, this one worthy of all honor, worthy of all praise. But look what else it says about Him. Zephaniah 3:17 goes on. Not only is the Lord your God in your midst as a warrior who gives victory, it says He will rejoice over you with gladness. He's standing in the middle, and we're praising Him, and He looks at us, and He's rejoicing. Oh, Brenda's here. I'm rejoicing over Brenda because she's worshiping me. Oh, God is saying, Sarah's here. He's rejoicing over the fact that Sarah is here. And over each and every one of you, when God sees you in that circle of the throng of heaven worshiping Him, praising Him, He looks back out at you and rejoices over you. Now, it's about time we get rid of this attitude of saying, I'm so unworthy and unwanted. And we crawl up to God, and this is what some of us have a demon whispering in our ears. We think, oh, God's reaction to me is, oh, not Him again. He's a sinner. He's got weaknesses. Emotional, physical, spiritual. He's got weaknesses. He's got failures. I don't know if I should let Him in my midst or not. Do any of you have that picture of yourself when you crawl towards God and are wondering, is He going to accept me or reject me? Can we just right up front declare, that's a lie of the enemy. That is not what Scripture teaches. And today is a day to cut that thing off and to affirm the truth of Scripture that says God rejoices over you with gladness. It gets better. He will renew you in His love. He's renewing you, rebuilding you, reinvigorating you. He's bringing you into a revival of life. It gets even better. He will exalt over you with loud singing, as on a day of festival. Ask for faith right now. God, let this picture of who You are sink into my soul, my mind, my emotions, my will, as it bubbles out of my spirit, as the Holy Spirit plants it in there and it bubbles out. And let it go so far as to do this amazing thing, impact your faith, your face. As it impacts your faith, it ought to impact your face. So Jeremy, right now, let it impact your face. There we go. We got a smile out of Jeremy. Things are good. You don't have to come up on stage. Just stay right there and interact with me, okay? Do you believe that scripture? The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in His love. He will exalt over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. God loves you. God loves you. The best song in the world to sing every day is the one we sang last Sunday at a baptism service. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, yeah, that's not the issue. He is strong is the issue. He is strong, overcoming your weaknesses. Your weaknesses actually drive you to Him. So you say, I need You, God. Your weaknesses become what He uses to build you into His image. Receive this morning the Father's love. Jude, verse 21, says, keep yourself in the love of God. In other words, that's an instruction to us to regularly remind ourselves so we stay in the awareness of and the reception of the love of God. Can you say this morning? God loves me today. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? How about everybody at once? God loves me today. Now say it tomorrow too. And say it the next day. And say it every day. Wake up, look outside, whether it's sunny or rainy, snowy or hailing, windy, whatever the weather is, however your body feels, however many cups of coffee it's going to take today to get you moving, say this, God loves me today. That's Scripture. Tell yourself Scripture when you wake up. And if the Father loves you, then anything that happens that day is going to be for your good. John 15, Jesus is speaking. And he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Or abide in my love. Or stay connected to my love. John 15, 9. In other words, we start the morning by saying, God loves me this morning. And then we go throughout the day remaining in God's love. When in the midst of the day do you step out of God's love? Never. Never. You never step out of the love of God. Just as a mother carries you along because she loves you, God's going to carry you along all day long. You never step out of the love of God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. There's a relationship that doesn't end. There's an intimacy with God because of his love for you that is unending. But the enemy does not want you to believe that. He wants you to doubt that. He wants you to deny that. He wants you to wander around feeling like you're an orphan, that you've been abandoned, that you've been deserted. So we need to immerse ourselves in the truth of God's word and continue to abide in the love of God. So receive God's love. Say a little prayer underneath your breath. I receive your love today, God. Receive his love every morning. Lamentations 3:22 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. That's saying his love for you is new every morning. Then, not only that, but receive his love at the beginning of every personal prayer time or every corporate prayer time. How are we supposed to start our prayer? According to the Lord's Prayer pattern, we start by reminding ourselves that he's our Father. Our Father in heaven. Then we go on to worship him and receive from him and extol him. But it starts with a love relationship. We pray out of a love relationship. Our loving Heavenly Father. We declare that he loves us in the midst of being attacked. Neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, present or future, power or height or depth, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 38. So we live in the midst of that love of God, even if we're in the midst of a war. Let's face the reality that we are always in the midst of a spiritual war. While we're on this planet, before the end of all ages comes, we will be in a spiritual war every single day of our life. It might flare up in intensity or wane at times, but it's always there. So in the midst of that war, we need to declare that God loves us. Think of the picture of the army of Israel going out to war. What do they do in the front of the column of soldiers? Well, here's a peculiar, strange idea. If you're a group of peculiar and strange people filled with the Spirit of God, how about the first unit we send out into battle are the worshipers? Let's put the worshipers out front and let's have them declare this truth. Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. That's what they did in 2 Chronicles 20. They sent the worshipers out ahead of time in the midst of a battle. That's what we ought to be doing in the midst of a battle. We declare that God loves me when I'm in a battle. We declare that God loves us when we're in a battle. We send worshipers ahead of warriors because we are worship warriors combined all the time. We declare God's victory. And so this morning, we're going to break off any kind of orphan spirit the enemy has been hounding you with and trying to destroy you with and trying to bring you into defeat. Now, an aspect of this, a second point really this morning, is that since we are dearly loved by God, God, our heavenly loving Father, speaks to us. So breathe that little prayer. I will hear my Father's voice. Be willing to pray that. I will hear my Father's voice. In Revelation, seven messages are given to seven churches by the Lord Jesus Christ, Revelation 2 and 3. In each of those messages, as it's describing Jesus walking amongst the churches, and the word there is ekklesia, the word is translated assembly or gathering of believers. So it's Jesus walking amongst the assembly of believers. So imagine Jesus walking down each row, not just the aisles. He gets close. He walks down the rows. You might have to move your feet. Jesus is walking up and down, stepping on some of your toes, brushing against your knees, bumping into you, jostling you. He's walking amongst us. And seven messages he gives these seven churches, each one includes this phrase, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assembled believers." He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So I know we did this not too long ago, but let's do it again. It helps. Jordan, show us how. Everybody, go like this to your ears. Everybody got two of them? I know some people who don't have the external part of an ear. If you've got ears, say this prayer, "Lord, help me hear you. Help me hear you." God wants you to hear his voice. In John chapter 10, we have this beautiful picture of Jesus being our good shepherd. John chapter 10, Jesus is described as our good shepherd. Put that image in your mind now. A bunch of sheep in rural biblical time, Old Testament time, Israel. A bunch of sheep and a shepherd. The shepherd doesn't sit in his pickup. The shepherd doesn't sick the dogs on the sheep. The shepherd walks up to the sheep pen. He says, "Come here, sheep." He says, "Come here, Leah." He says, "Come here, Wolfie." He says, "Come here, Kia." That's how the shepherd leads the sheep. John 10, verse 4, "When he," Jesus, "had brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Do you believe that scripture? The good shepherd, describing the Lord Jesus Christ, brings the sheep out, goes in front of them. The sheep are following him. That's you, following Jesus. "For they know his voice." That's when you say amen. I believe that scripture. They know his voice. Amen. Or it goes on in verse 14. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." My own know me. We know who our shepherd is. Another shepherd might come. He might call his sheep. We say, "Oh, that's not my shepherd. I'm not going to go out right now. Oh, but there comes my shepherd. My shepherd's here now. He's calling my voice. I hear him. I know him. I'm going to follow him." That's you. Eagerly say, "I'm going to follow him because I know his voice." It gets better. John 16. "And they will listen to my voice." And it gets better. Verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." That's Scripture's promise for you this morning. You are God's sheep. When you surrender your heart to him, you become a born-again believer with the Spirit of God put into your made-alive spirit, and you are now empowered by the Spirit to hear the voice of your good shepherd. Let's talk practically about how this happens. Romans 8, verse 16 now. Romans 8, verse 16. "The Spirit himself bears witness," or testifies, "with our spirit that we are children of God." I want to make 3 points from that. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. First of all, how does God speak to us? He speaks to us by his Spirit. It's the Spirit of God who speaks to us. He bears witness, which also could be translated, he testifies, or he affirms, or he declares, or he gives testimony. It's the Spirit speaking. How does God speak? by His Spirit. He speaks by His Spirit. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Or 1 Corinthians 2, these things God has revealed to us through His Spirit. So that God speaks through His Spirit. Now the primary way the Spirit speaks to us is through the revealed Word of God. We call it the Bible. It's God's revealed truth, recorded, kept safe, passed along to us. The Bible is God's primary way of speaking to us by His Spirit. That's why we immerse ourselves in the Bible. But it's the Spirit speaking through the Bible. It's the Spirit speaking through the Bible. I was trying to remember. Yeah. Oh, no, that's a little different. Our official logo for the Free Lutheran Church. Anybody know what elements are on it? The official logo for the Free Lutheran Church as an entity, the Association of Free Lutheran Churches, has three things on it. You know what they are? There's a Bible. Excellent. We're people of the Bible. What else? What is above the Bible? A dove, which represents the Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit who caused the Bible to be written and recorded and passed down and kept safe, transmitted, and now illuminated to us. And what else is there? What? Something, a living plant. Yeah, a living plant, because Free Lutheran churches are alive and living and reproducing churches, assemblies of believers. So God is speaking. He speaks primarily through His Word. So we immerse ourselves in God's Word so that we're better able to hear Him in between the lines, in between the times when we have the Word in front of our eyes, when we're walking through the day. We've so saturated ourselves with the written Word that our tuning is focused in on what the Spirit is saying to us all day long. In the New Testament, especially in Corinthians and Romans, and again in Ephesians, it talks about spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts are how the Holy Spirit continues to speak to us. The Bible was not written to cancel out fresh revelation from God. The Bible was written to clarify and focus and tune our understanding of the voice of God as we move throughout the day. So we could say that there are really seven primary ways the Holy Spirit continues to speak to us. The Bible, His inner voice, the spiritual gifts, circumstances, angels, visions and dreams, even family and friends. God speaks. Read your Bible and start recording, marking, putting an exclamation point or a star or whatever you want to put, maybe a megaphone, by every time you see God speaking. Now, if God is speaking, how do we hear? How do we hear? That verse again, Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. God primarily speaks to us in our spirit. Now, we're a triad. We're body, soul, and spirit. Our body could at times hear the voice of God, and God has spoken that way in the past. It's just not the most usual way. I've never heard God with my physical eardrum. It occasionally happens. Or our minds, our wills, our emotions could occasionally hear God. It's just not the most usual way. God speaks to our spirit. Our spirit is inside of us. It's our spirit that hears the Holy Spirit. It's our spirit that grasps the essence, the promptings, the urgings of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit Himself bears witness to our spirit. So we want to be people who get stronger spirits. Now, I've noticed some of you, especially you younger people, you're getting more muscular. I mean, last time I saw Ty, he wasn't nearly as beefy. But, you know, here he is getting so beefy. These muscles are just growing and growing on this kid. Or Micah. I don't know if you get any more muscular, we're going to have trouble getting you into a shirt. But physical strength is of some benefit. That's why I do what I do all the time. But let me encourage you as a triad being, strengthen your body, yes. Strengthen your mind, will, and emotions, yes. But strengthen your spirit. Strengthen your spirit. Because it's your spirit that hears the Word of God. It's your spirit that is strengthened as you consume the Word of God. It's then for attuned to hear the ongoing voice of God as He leads you in His Spirit. And quickly, thirdly, what does God say to you? What does God say to you? Romans 8:16 again. The Spirit Himself testifies, that speaks, with our spirit that we are children of God. Your spirit needs to hear that, that you are a child of God. The fact that God loves you, accepts you, protects you, gives you dignity, restores your confidence, enables you to call Him Father, Father. That's what the booming voice from heaven did twice in Jesus' earthly life. At His baptism, remember what happened? The heavens rumbled. The dove descended in a form of, the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. And the voice from heaven declared, "This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." That's what God the Father said to God the Son by the empowerment of God the Spirit at His baptism, at that launching of His ministry. And then on the Mount of Transfiguration, towards the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, we have the clouds rolling in and the booming voice from heaven as Jesus' appearance is made to be gleaming white, starting to look again like He used to look in heaven and that He does look like now in heaven. But His earthly existence took on that appearance for a brief time. And then the voice from heaven declared, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I'm well pleased." And then this instruction to us, listen to Him. Listen to Him. With your spirit, listen to Him. May the resurrected, glorified, ascended Lord Jesus Christ be ever speaking into your ears. May you hear that you are His Son, that you are His daughter. May you hear His affirmation, His encouragement. May you hear His love. May you hear His ability to guide you and direct you and keep you and provide for you. And all those other parts of the Lord's Prayer we pray, that we might be in the midst of God's kingdom expanding, will accomplishing plan, that He might give us the daily bread stuff, that He might lead us into victory over temptation and over the lies of the enemy, that we might go forward to enable His kingdom to be established so that He gets all the praise, He gets all the glory, because His kingdom is ever growing in us and through us. God, create in each one of us now a holy anticipation. Create in us faith right now.